Good afternoon, Miami Dolphins fans. This is Mike from DolphinsTalk.com with this breaking news audio. Joining me is Josh Katzker from the same old Dolphin show, also heard here at DolphinsTalk.com. Josh, how you doing today?
I'm pretty good. You know, just enjoying a normal Tuesday afternoon. Nothing exciting going on. Just hanging out at home.
Exactly. Nothing exciting going on except for, oh yeah, a bomb just dropped a few minutes ago. That the Miami Dolphins have announced, per Adam Schefter. So far, he's the only one with it, but, you know, it is Adam Schefter. He ain't making this stuff up. That when the Miami Dolphins face the Los Angeles Rams after the bye week, Tua Tagovailoa will be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. He has replaced Ryan Fitzpatrick as the starting quarterback. This news, I'm surprised, but I'm not. And, Josh, I want to get your thoughts on this. Let me just sort of open this up with a quick little statement. I'm surprised of the timing of this because they are 3-3 and they are one game out of first place. So that is a little bit surprising, but I'm not surprised because as I've been saying for weeks, for those of you who listen to our podcast and our post-game wrap-up show, I know the team is 3-3, but Ryan Fitzpatrick's been bad. And for those of you who just look at the results, well, they won. I don't care. That's fine. They're winning in spite of Ryan Fitzpatrick. They beat the Jets this week because the Jets stink. But they won that game in spite of Ryan Fitzpatrick, not because of him. He was not good. Another red zone turnover. He's been horrible in the red zone this year. So I'm not surprised that they made a switch at quarterback, but I am surprised they're doing it now because with that loss on Monday night by the Buffalo Bills, they're one game out of first place, Josh. And you don't usually see a team on a two-game winning streak who's one game out of first place make a quarterback change. But I think that the team thinks and the coaching staff thinks the upside here is just too great.
Yeah, I think there's this couple things here that I take away from the timing of it, and which I agree is very interesting. And I think the biggest thing is, and I had this sort of conversation with my brother, Aaron the Brain, we sort of talked about this idea that it always felt sort of like this bye week was where it was going to happen, was where the quarterback change was going to happen because there was a bit more time for things to establish. So there was going to be more time for Tua to get some reps with the ones and all of that stuff. And with the schedule change, the bye got pushed up from week 10 all the way up to week 7. And that, or excuse me, week 6. And that's where everything is sort of thrown into the air. And I think the fact that things got moved up, they were just like, well, we put Tua in, he took a couple snaps, he looked okay, let's go ahead and pull the trigger now because this was always the plan. And if we don't do it now, we're in a situation where we're not going to be able to plan it. We're not going to have as much time to implement him into the offense. So that's the biggest takeaway to me. It was sort of the NFL changed the schedule around and that, not, I don't want to say forced the Dolphins' hand because they obviously don't have to put him in if they don't want to, but I think the plan was to use to get him in over the bye week. The bye week is now week 6, so Tua is now your starter.
Actually, your numbers are wrong on the bye, but that's okay. It was moved from week 11 to week 7. So yeah, they're going to get him ready now over the bye week, and that might very well be the case. It actually is a logical explanation to sort of get him some extra time here to actually see the field. But again, if that's the case, it's just somewhat curious that they're on a bit of a hot streak and on a bit of a winning streak. But again, I say, and I still believe, this has more to do with Ryan Fitzpatrick at the end of the day. He just hasn't been that good this year. He looks every bit of a 37-year-old quarterback. And I know for a lot of fans, for the casual fans who just maybe listens to a few podcasts in the week, just watches the game, and just want to see the team win. You look at the stat line this year, you know, with Fitzpatrick, 300 yards against the Bills, 300 yards against Seattle, 300 yards against San Francisco. Oh, Ryan Fitzpatrick's going for 300 yards, and then, you know, 500 team. There's more to it than that. That's surface-level stuff. But once again, the game against Seattle, he threw for 315 yards. It was the worst game. It was so bad for a quarterback, when you dig in, they settled for 5 field goals. The only touchdown drive came in junk time. He could not convert. This week against the Jets, right before halftime, the game was never in doubt, but that still doesn't mean you don't take things away out of the game. And right before halftime, they're going in for another score in Miami, a red zone interception. Ryan Fitzpatrick just hasn't been good this year. And, you know, he's going to be 38 in November. You don't get better with age in the NFL. Oh, you just don't, you know. And I think the other thing is, Josh, and I've been saying this too for weeks, you don't draft a kid number 5 overall to sit him on the bench. And general managers and head coaches in this league know the clock is always ticking on your job. You don't have forever to show results. And they took Tua Tagovailoa, number 5 overall. Their asses are on the line with this pick. And they're not going to go down and lose their job. Not that their jobs are in jeopardy, but you only get a small window in this league to show results. They're not going to go down with Ryan Fitzpatrick. If this ship is going down, they're going down with the kid they invested such a high pick on in Tua Tagovailoa. That's just the reality of the NFL. And, you know, these guys who are picked high in the draft have to play. You know, this whole notion, and I know time off on a pit of a rant, this whole notion that someone has to sit and learn, you know, it's not a special needs child here. You know, learn what? Football at the end of the day. These guys,
this isn't Carson Palmer's NFL anymore.
No, this is not. This is 2020. Football's football. Learn what? You can't learn by sitting on a bench and watching. You have to actually play. And yes, you're going to make mistakes. You live with those mistakes. You learn from those. You learn from mistakes on the field. You don't learn by sitting on the bench holding the clipboard. Okay, you have to actually play. And I think to get him on the field now, whatever happens in 2020, great. But it's more of a preparation for 2021, where I think that's the year where the Miami Dolphins really want to compete, where they want to be talked about in the conversations with teams like Pittsburgh and the Ravens and such. They want to be in that conversation. So, yes, let him play now and prepare him for the future.
I absolutely 100% agree. And I think in more immediate terms into how it affects this season for the Miami Dolphins, going into their bye, coming out of the bye with a home game against the Los Angeles Rams, who are going to be coming to town on a short week, having played on Monday Night Football against the Bears. And you've got a Rams team that is now on a short week having to prepare for a quarterback that they've got no film on when it comes to the NFL. What are they going to make? They're going to base their defensive game plan based off of what, 4 or 5 snaps that Tua took on Sunday. So this actually, I think, gives a sneaky advantage to the Dolphins in this upcoming game against the Rams, which I'm sure we'll be talking about over the next couple of weeks here on the website. But in the short-term future, I think this is a positive step. I mean, really, yes, you're on a winning streak. And I know, listen, it's I old takes exposed. I said yesterday, I tweeted yesterday on Monday that, you know, listen, the Dolphins are 3-3 right now. I enjoyed Tua's debut, but Ryan Fitzpatrick is the starter and he should stay the starter. Well, that take is out the window right now because now it's Tua. But that's okay, because I think, as you pointed out, with the way that Fitzpatrick has played, with his ups and downs and his sort of inconsistency, there's nothing really to lose here by putting Tua in now. Because if he comes in and it's a complete disaster right off the bat, well, there's every chance that Ryan Fitzpatrick would have been just as big of a disaster. And the thing is, you know what Ryan Fitzpatrick's ceiling is. We don't know what Tua's ceiling is. And the fact is, we also don't know what his floor is. So there is a great opportunity here into the bye week for the Dolphins to introduce Tua, implement him, and to have a chance to take one of the stronger teams on their schedule for this season and really surprise them with some new looks. And I think gives the Dolphins a much better shot of taking that game against the Rams, when I know some people are hesitant to have that conversation, but the Dolphins are in the thick of the playoff hunt 6 weeks into the season.
Yeah, and a few narratives we can put to bed now, hopefully forever. Number one, this notion that he's not healthy and he needs more time to heal. Folks, he's been on the injury report once this year, and that was because he had a cold or a flu or something. The hip is fine. The hip has been fine since April. This whole thing, he needs more time to rest. Rest what? You're either 100% or you're not. He's been 100% this whole time. The hip is fine. The more you rest can't make the hip any stronger when the hip's already 100%. So we can stop that nonsense. It's nonsense that we had to wait for the offensive line to gel. Don't put him out there. Austin Jackson, nobody knows what the heck is happening with him. Tua might be out there with Robert Hunt, who started, what, 2 games protecting his blind side. They're not worried about the offensive line, nor do they, or they just don't care because they think
it hasn't played badly without Austin Jackson anyway over the course of these couple of weeks with that.
It wasn't great against the Jets, but it wasn't awful either. It's fine. It's good enough. That's the point. The offensive line is good enough to where there's no fear of throwing this kid out there behind rookies and guys playing out of position. So you can put that narrative to bed. You can put the hip to bed. You can put, you know, they got to sit and learn. You got to sit and learn. Learn what? You got to play in this league. You can put all these narratives to bed. You can never mention them again. They're, you know, and the other narrative you can put to bed is, well, you know, the Chiefs have Pat Mahomes for a year. Great. That's Pat Mahomes. That's the Chiefs. We're not them. We're an entirely different situation. So you can't compare us and this to that. You can put all that stuff to bed, never to be spoken about again. And a few things I'm looking forward to here, Josh. December 6th, Joe Burrow comes to Miami, and you'll have Joe Burrow versus Tua. November 15th, even sooner, Herbert versus Tua. That's going to be fun. November 22nd, you're going to have Drew Lock, a second-year player, versus Tua. Miami is going to face, you know, some first- and second-year quarterbacks here, and they're going to roll out their new shiny new toy themselves. So we're going to see how he matches up against these other young quarterbacks. That's going to be really fun to see, really fun to watch. And, you know, I just think there's nothing to lose here. And I know Tom, he did a podcast that dropped this morning. He didn't see this happening at all, which I get that. Just like you said, you sort of didn't see this happening. To me, I've been frustrated all year by our quarterback play. I thought he should have started week one, Tua, because I didn't think Fitzpatrick was all that great in 2019. I know on a lot of these takes, I'm on an island all by myself sometimes, and I'm okay with that, but I wasn't really impressed with him last year. He was okay last year on a team that was really bad, and what I've seen so far through six games really hasn't changed that. He's been pretty bad most weeks, Fitzpatrick, so I'm not shocked that they want to try something new. Because you look at this Miami Dolphins offense, Josh. The offensive line this year, through six games, has been good to very good, okay? The tight end this year has taken another big step. He's been very, very good. Parker has taken another big leap. He's a legit stud number one wide receiver. Preston Williams has sort of turned it on these past few games. Wide receivers, not a deep group, but they're playing very well. Running back, Miles, you know, he averaged 5.1 yards a carry this week. Most weeks he's averaged over 4 yards a carry. The yards per carry that everyone was sort of referencing last week with the Miami Dolphins chase for Le'Veon Bell, that's a team stat. That includes Fitzpatrick. That includes, you know, Jordan Howard and some others. Just look at the lead back, which is Myles Gaskin. His numbers aren't awful. This offense should be performing at a higher level than it is. And the only guy holding it back has been the quarterback. It's just, I mean, I think most fans just want to put their head in the sand, or most fans didn't want this kid to be drafted anyways. So they were just, you know, as I like to say, Josh, some people would rather climb a tree and lie to themselves rather than just stand on the ground and tell the truth. And everyone who's been climbing a tree, coming up with excuses why not to play this kid, today looks like a fool. Not you, not Tom.
Hey.
You know, I mean, big picture-wise, not just as of like a week ago. Big picture from the start. They've just sort of been lying to themselves why they shouldn't play this kid. And, you know, the time is here. Tua time is here. I guarantee for that Rams game, they can only let 13,000 fans in the stadium. There will be 13,000 on the button. There will not be one less seat than 13,000 fans in the stadium. There will be 13,000 fans on the nose for that game.
100%. I think that there was absolutely some benefit to having Tua start on the bench behind Ryan Fitzpatrick. Because, yes, while you are absolutely, ultimately, the best place to learn is on the field, I think, and while Ryan Fitzpatrick might not be the best when it comes to execution on the field, this guy's been around this league a long time. He's been able to see things. He's able to, at least to a certain degree, sort of diagnose some things out there, maybe not as well as some of us would like, but he's able to start to see some things. And having Tua on the bench, watching from Ryan Fitzpatrick, and quite frankly, learning from Ryan Fitzpatrick's inability to read defense and make mistakes, those are the kinds of things that I think Tua gets it being on the bench. That's an advantage for him, at least for these first few weeks. So now he's had 6 weeks of time to sit and to digest and to diagnose and to learn. And now he's going to have these 2 weeks to be implemented into the offense, and it'll be time to take off and run. Obviously, the fact that they're putting him in puts to bed any notion of he's not 100%. I'm going to say this. Any notion that he wasn't 100% was put to bed when they drafted him fifth overall.
Exactly.
You're not drafting him fifth overall if you've got legitimate health concerns with this guy. If there were lingering issues and he was far enough out in April that they knew whether there were going to be serious issues, if those issues were there, the Dolphins would have known, and I don't think they would have been willing to take him with that fifth pick, especially when they had other picks in the first round that maybe he would have fallen to them. So I think that the health issue can be put to bed. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what he has to offer this offense. As you've mentioned, the Dolphins have done a really good job elevating some of these players on the team. We've seen some pretty good output from Devontae Parker, Preston Williams starting to pick it up over the last couple of weeks. The entire tight end position I've been impressed with for the Dolphins thus far in the season, not just Gesicki, but also Adam Shaheen and Durham Smythe being introduced and implemented into packages, and everybody getting involved. Heck, Mike Gesicki put up a goose egg on Sunday because these other tight ends were so involved in the offense. And so the Dolphins are starting to mix it up. Chan Gailey's offense is starting to click a little bit. And now you're going to bring in Tua, which is this other X factor. And if the Dolphins' calculations are correct, this is really just going to take this team and move it into the higher echelon of where they're going. And I, for one, am really excited to see these first few weeks right out of the gate. Got Jared Goff and the Rams, Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, Justin Herbert and the Chargers, Drew Locke and the Denver Broncos, these first four games out of the bye. I mean, this is absolutely, as we've been sort of saying, this is a sort of softer section of the Dolphins schedule anyway. It's the perfect time. Let's implement him. I know I was saying that it should have been Fitzpatrick, and if it had been, if the Dolphins had decided it should be Fitzpatrick, I wouldn't be upset about it because I understand, you know, but this is the way that they've decided to go. And I think we can all agree it's time to get fired up about Tua time in Miami, because Tua time is here.
Absolutely. And you know, you might be right though when you say how the schedule shifted and that the league moved their bye week from week 11 to week 7. That might have sped up this process, actually. I don't know. And look, we'll never know. Nobody's going to ever give us an honest answer on that. We will never, never, ever know that. But that could be the case here. Maybe the plan was to sort of give him that extra week to prepare to sort of take over in between the two Jets games, which was the original schedule. And by them moving the schedule up, maybe that sort of did change the process. Like, look, we have to start this kid this year. They were always going to start this kid this year at some point. It was just a matter of when. And maybe that did change it. I don't know. I think, though, truly down in my heart of hearts, it really did stem from Fitzpatrick's, you know, he was not good against the Jets. I know people look at three touchdown passes. I know people look at the score. One, the Jets are awful. Fitzpatrick didn't convert a third down against the Jets. You know, and that gets lost. And I think your average fan, that gets lost on your casual fan. But, you know, I know the announcers on Sunday were sort of making a big thing of that because each team failed to convert a third down to very late in the game. But for a team that, you know, is sort of wants to make the playoffs and wants to go far this year and wants to continue to improve in year two of this rebuild, you can't have an offense that just can't convert third downs. You can't have an offense that continually settles for field goals. You can't have an offense that turns it over in the red zone. And, you know, Fitzpatrick has had his moments, no doubt. He's had his moments, and I'm not going to take that away from him. But, you know, if you got eyes on larger prizes, you can't have that type of roller coaster quarterback play with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And, again, 37 years old. He's going to be 38 here in, like, less than a month, I think. He's mid to late November is his birthday. I'm not sure of the exact day. I think I might have it right here.
I think he's exactly who the Dolphins knew he was when they agreed to bring him in. And when the Dolphins brought him in, we always knew that he was coming in to be the placeholder until the Dolphins got their guy, whether it was Tua, whether it was Burrow, whether it was Josh Rosen. We always knew that Fitzpatrick was coming in to be the placeholder. He was never the long-term answer for this team, and he held the place. And now it's time for him to move aside and let Tua in and let's see how it goes. And if worst case scenario, if Tua comes in and is completely overwhelmed, well, then the Dolphins are learning a lot from that and that can inform how they move forward. But it's, I think you're right that it's time now. And with the bye week, as I said, it sort of provides a really nice opportunity for him to be implemented where there's time for him to breathe a little bit. And it's not like a rush to get through. He's got all this week, all next week, and plenty, you know, like I said, plenty of time to adjust. And when he gets to next Sunday against the Rams, he can jump in. And now we're really going to put his feet to the fire and find out what this kid's all about.
So the Sunday after, November 1st, 1 p.m., Rams travel to Miami. The game is on Fox. I don't know if they'll send Joe Buck and Troy Aikman down for that game, but it wouldn't shock me because this kid is special, not just in his on-the-field play, just in that, you know, the attention he brings and just who he was in college. This is going to be a big game. This is going to put the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins are now one of those handful of teams in the NFL that get the national spotlight each and every day. They're not as big as the Cowboys. Yep, Josh, go.
Yeah. I just want to throw something else in here before we wrap up, Mike, because I know we're running a little long on this breaking news.
That's all right.
Audio, but one of the things that I'm seeing a lot of people saying, I'm hearing this take of, oh, I feel bad for Fitzpatrick. I feel bad for Fitzpatrick. Listen, you don't need to feel bad for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick is still going to be very involved in this team going forward. He knew when he was brought in what this was, and he said as much all throughout the season. I don't think this is a guy that feels bad that he's lost his starting job. He's still going to be collecting a paycheck. He's still going to be healthy, and he's still going to be heavily involved. And in a lot of ways, his legacy is going to be how Tua performs with this team, right? This Ryan Fitzpatrick was not going to lead the Miami Dolphins to a Super Bowl title.
He's never played a playoff game.
Exactly. He's never even made it to the playoffs before in his entire career. So maybe if you ran 100 simulations of this Dolphins season, maybe there's one where Fitzpatrick remains the starter and the Dolphins go to the Super Bowl. I doubt even that. But, you know, Fitzpatrick did his job. He did what was asked of him. Was he performed for this team. He enabled them to get from the point that they were at when he was brought in to the point where they are now, which is where the quarterback of the future is taking over. And as long as Tua comes in and succeeds with flying colors, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick can feel like he's done a pretty good job for this team because he led them to the 5th overall pick last year. And now he's made way for Tua, and Tua can come in and do his job. So the thing to say to Fitz, thank you, sir. Thank you for all of your contributions to the Miami Dolphins football organization. Thank you for leading the way. Thank you for mentoring Tua and continuing to mentor Tua over the course of the season. Because listen, Tua's going to have some hiccups. Tua's going to do some things wrong. Tua's going to make some mistakes. He's a rookie. He's going to be playing against, listen, the Jets might have been the perfect team because there's a question of whether or not the Jets would be as good as some of those SEC teams that Tua played against when he was playing college football. Because this Jets team is terrible, right? But so Tua's going to get in there against a team like the Rams. He's going to be going up against Aaron Donald in his first NFL start, okay? The game is going to be moving a lot faster. There are mistakes that are going to be made. But having Ryan Fitzpatrick there on the sideline as the lead cheerleader for Tua and the guy to be cheering him on and mentoring him throughout the rest of the season, I think is going to be key to Tua's success, at least in the short term over the course of the rest of this 2020 season.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be fun to watch. November 1st, that's the big day. Now everyone can circle it on their calendar. Tua Tagovailoa, under center for the Miami Dolphins, per the breaking news report from Adam Schefter of ESPN. Keep checking out our website, dolphinstalk.com, for more about this. We're going to have more articles for sure, podcasts and everything. When news breaks, always go to dolphinstalk.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk. Also follow us on Instagram. I did an Instagram live breaking news press conference. After I was done, I forgot to save it. So for those of you who tuned in and caught it, great. It's the lost episode, I guess we can say. I forgot to save it, but we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on Instagram. So be sure to follow us on Instagram at Dolphins Talk. Same old Dolphin Show with Josh and Aaron, the brain. We have them up on our website as well, so check that out. Just so much content is coming your way from DolphinsTalk.com. Everyone check it out. And Tua time is here, Josh.
Tua time is here. I can't wait. Let's go. This is the spark, right? I've been commenting to people that this Dolphins team is way more fun. This is probably the most fun I've had watching the Dolphins since probably 2008, because even that year that they made the playoffs in Gase's first year, it was just kind of eh. But this team is a lot of
fun. Yeah.
Yeah, this team has been a joy to watch, particularly over the past few weeks. I'm having a good time. So excited to see how Tua does. It's gonna be a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is going to be fun. And hopefully, you know, they have a chance to make the playoffs here, folks, because the AFC sucks. Look at the AFC. The AFC is brutal. I mean, there's like, you have the Chiefs, you have the Ravens, you have Pittsburgh. After that, maybe I'll throw in the Titans because they haven't lost yet. After that top four, it is wide open. There is not much after those top four. Everybody is close to the same. So the AFC is wide open for them to get a playoff spot. Not out of the realm, and maybe this is the kickstart they need to get this offense really moving, because the offense has been okay, but it really needs to get moving. So that's all for this breaking news audio. Thank you all for listening, and we'll talk to you again after a while.